Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the crowds, "To what shall I compare this generation? What are they like? They're like children who sit in the marketplace and call to one another. 'We played the flute for you, but you didn't dance. We sang a dirge, but you did not weep.' For John the Baptist came, neither eating food nor drinking wine, and you said he's possessed by a demon. The Son of Man came, eating and drinking, and you said, 'Look, he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Wisdom is vindicated by all her children." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
It's a powerful gospel. Yesterday we had the raising of the only son of the widow of Nain. But immediately after, the people were glorifying God and saying, "God has visited his people, a great prophet has arisen in our midst." The disciples of St. John the Baptist went to him and reported all those things. And that's when he sent them to ask Jesus the query that we hear in St. Matthew's Gospel in the liturgy that, for whatever reason, is excised in the 24th week. So that they would be able to discover that Jesus himself was the Messiah, just as he promised. At the very end of which, Jesus starts to give a huge praise about John the Baptist, that he was the greatest born of woman, that he wasn't a reed blowing in the wind. But the scribes and the Pharisees were offended because they didn't really heed John's words. So that's the setup for today's gospel, which context is important for us to really get to what Jesus is saying in its depth. So when the scribes and the Pharisees were murmuring, Jesus said to the crowds, "What is this generation like?" And he compared them to fickle children in a marketplace. And there are two important aspects of this image by Jesus. The first thing Jesus says, they're like children who sit in the marketplace. Jesus calls us to follow him dynamically, to get up from where we are, to go to where he wants to lead us. When we sit, and our whole relationship with the Lord is based on that static, "You come to me" type of attitude, "You serve me," it leaves us on the sidelines, such that we're judging everything according to our own preferences. Second thing we see is about the music. Jesus says they called to one another, "We played the flute and you didn't dance a jitterbug. We sang a Portuguese fado, but you didn't weep." In other words, we want to be the one at the jukebox. We want to be the one controlling the music, not you. Even though you come as the enfleshment of the Canticum Novum that we pray in the Psalms, that the Lord is always giving us a new song. No, we want to be the ones in control of this relationship. We want you to dance in response to our impulse rather than the other way around. That's this generation that Jesus would go on to say, basically, "You judged John outside of your willingness to follow because he was too ascetic. And now you're judging me because I'm hanging around prostitutes and tax collectors. You're judging me as not to be followed either. You'll make up whatever excuse you can. Somebody's too conservative, somebody's too liberal, somebody's too old, somebody's too young, somebody's too intense, somebody's too lackadaisical. Whatever, you're not willing to align your whole life to this new beat, to these new lyrics, to this new melody of the bride and the bridegroom." He finishes by saying, wisdom is vindicated by our little children. The first thing is about all the stuff that isn't happening. But the children of wisdom are the ones who actually accept John and accept Jesus, because they're always attuned to God. St. Paul, in today's first reading, uses a totally different image to drive home the same point to St. Timothy. You should know how to behave. You should know how to conduct yourself in the household of God, he says. He uses four different images for the church. First, the church is a family, it's a household. It's an ecclesia. God actually calls everyone. The church are the ones who actually respond to the call. The ones who, having been called, everybody's been called, but they're the ones who have actually come and assembled. Pillar, which means not just strong, but out there. Timothy was in Ephesus, and he had the 137 columns of the Temple of Aphrodite there. And so it was an image. So many of those pillars were covered with gold, etc. It was out there meant to be seen. And then bulwark of truth, foundation of truth. It's something that strengthens the truth, the behavior of Christians, because the truth is meant to be lived and not just enunciated. And then he does something very important. He gives us one of the earliest hymns that we know of in Christianity. This is the tune God is playing. In an essence, to ask Timothy and the church around Timothy whether they are living according to this beat. He calls Christ the great mystery, who was manifested in the flesh. Are we aligning ourselves with his incarnation? Vindicated in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit himself comes, as Jesus would say during the Last Supper, to lead the church to all truth and to convict the church about judgment, righteousness, and condemnation. Seen by the angels, not just before he came into the world, while he was in the world at his birth and his death, we see throughout that time, and now seen again, proclaimed to the Gentiles. He was the fulfillment of what God had revealed to the four prophets, who said that that salvation wasn't going to be restricted to the Jews, but brought to all peoples. Are we taking this seriously? 60s, early 60s AD, he says, proclaimed throughout the world. We can overlook that at this point. But just in the first 30 years, the gospel had been taken to the whole known world at the time already, because they were so passionate, those who were vindicating wisdom in their own behavior in the household of God, were taking that gospel throughout the globe and taken up in glory. Those who pay very close attention to the Liturgy of the Hours recognize this, because it's always given to us both on Vigil 1 and Vigil 2 of the Ascension. This is what we pray at Vespers, because Jesus was taken up into glory, and therefore, what's our tune? Our tune is to seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So this is the tune that is played by God, to which we're called to do what the Carmelites would call that divine dance, even here on earth. St. Andrew Kim Taegon and the Korean martyrs are those who live this way. Pope Francis never tires of expressing his wonder at how the gospel came to Korea. Korea is probably one of the most xenophobic places on earth. They don't want any foreigners in. It's a problem that still pertains to this day. But some Koreans had gone to China, and they had found the books of a slain Chinese missionary, and they started to read the books, including sacred scripture. And they smuggled the books back into Korea. They started to baptize each other. They started to help each other to really learn the faith and live it. They tried to conduct themselves always as the vindication of wisdom and according to the behavior of those who are really members of God's family. when eventually a French priest was smuggled into Korea about 100 years later, discovered that there were already 4,000 Christians who were living according to what they had been able to bring in from that Jesuit whose books that they had discovered. And they were living it all the way. There were 6 ferocious anti-Christian persecutions between 1791 and 1866. And many died. But that didn't scare them away, because they knew what the beat was. And if the Lord was asking them to sing and live the lyrics of Lift High the Cross, the love of God proclaim, to the whole world proclaim His holy name, they would do it. This story of Andrew Kim Taegon, they name all the martyrs after him. He was the first native-born priest among them. When he was 15, this French missionary smuggled in recognized that he had a priestly vocation, but there was no way he could be trained. There was no bishop in the country. What were you going to do? The closest place for him to get trained was Macau. The one problem was a 1,000-mile walk. And yet, Andrew Kim Taegon made that 1,000-mile journey in order to study to be a priest. And then he came back to strengthen everybody, to dance with him in that household of God. And even as he was suffering in his imprisonment awaiting death, he was exhorting them to be Christians, not just in name, but in fact. That was an application of something St. Ignatius of Antioch had said 1,700 years earlier. When Andrew went away on that journey, they discovered that he had gone away to be a priest, and so what did they do? They murdered his father for the faith. And yet that didn't dissuade him, because he knew that if he followed the Lord, he would see the unveiling of the mystery manifested in the flesh and vindicated in the spirit and eventually taken up in glory. Today, as we come forward, we ask these Korean martyrs to help us, like them, to attune our entire life to the Canticum Novum that the Lord and the choirs of angels are always singing, to help the entire world become a choir, and to live and behave as holy sons and daughters of the Eternal Father in His household, because this assembly is of the living God, and it's meant by the Lord to bring everybody to the strength and the foundation of the truth that is meant to be lived in our flesh. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.